everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Denodo Data Bytes series. This is your host Neha, and our guest this week is Andrea Kuno, who is a data evangelist here at Denodo. Andrea has more than 30 years of experience in the information technology space, where he has held several roles ranging from machine learning to innovation to digital transformation, as well as advanced data analytics. In fact, very recently, Andrea has started his own podcast series in Italian called Denodo Data Pops. This podcast specializes in covering various data-related topics, including data management, data integration, and data analytics for our Italian counterparts. Feel free to give it a listen at www.denodo.com/datapops. As a fellow podcast host for Denodo, I'm super excited for this fun collaboration where a podcast host wears the guest speaker hat for a while to share his knowledge on data democracy and self-service business intelligence, or BI, with our listeners. Thank you for joining us, Andrea. Before we start today's session, can you give us a quick introduction about yourself and about your role at Denodo, and also about your latest podcast series, please?
Hi, Nea, and thanks for inviting me, for sure. I'm very excited to be a participant as a guest of one of the Denodo Data Bytes episodes. Well, I'm 62 years old, married with two children, one of 22 and the other 26. I have a statistical background, but I always worked in ICT, where I have almost always dealt with the data and their representation. And I joined Denodo in 2019, so this is almost 4 years that I'm in Denodo. As you said, my current role is that of a data evangelist for Italy, basically, but also in some cases for South Europe. You know, data evangelist is not easy to describe. We could define as a sort of dual role. The first one is spreading Denodo's approach to data management, help and support organizations in their data-driven transformation, sharing for international experiences, and showing them how a logical approach to data management is the best enabler for this transformation. So you can see this role as a mix between business development and a sort of advisory for company, private or public. As you said, we recently launched an Italian version of a podcast called Denodo Data Pops, as you said, where we talk about the many aspects of data management, both in person, usually me, but also by inviting customers, partners, and university professors. Especially for the last point, I think it's very important to hear also the opinion of the academic person. So there is a strong link between academic, university, and industries. So it's very interesting discussing how the university is treating data, which kind of program they deliver to the student, so to reduce the gap between the education and the job, the real job on real companies, private or public. So that's all, I think.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing, Andrea. In fact, yes, it's very exciting to see that the show is also running in Italian, and we've heard great response till now. So that's very exciting. Hoping for many more interesting episodes in the future. So let's get started with our discussion today. So to begin with, can you explain what data democracy is and how can we link it with self-service business intelligence, or BI?
Yes, this is a very important point. Basically, data democracy is a concept that is intimately linked to that of data-driven transformation, in the sense that, as in the democracy we all know as a citizen, everyone must have the right to use the data they need and to do so in compliance with the rules that each organization defines. So it's very similar between rights and duty in a real democracy scenario. The other fundamental aspect, once again, as in the democracy we all know, is that rights are easily exercisable. Otherwise, rights become privileges, something that is not acceptable in a data-centric organization. This implies that a data management solution must, first of all, make it easy to work with data, both for the data steward or data engineer, in that basically are those in charge of connecting different data sources, modeling new data, define the access rules, but also for the data consumer, who must know the available data, understand its meaning, origin, and relation with other data. As you know, this simplicity is well addressed by the Denodo Data Platform, which with both the design studio allows to the data steward to work with a graphic environment, low code or no code, and also for the data consumer through the data catalog to select the data it needs easily without having to ask a technical team to prepare the data, deliver the data each time, because, and this is basically the core of self-service. So when we talk about self-service, we are talking about making the data consumer autonomous in consuming the data without any, ideally, any assistance from ICT people. But, you know, we can't reach a reasonable 100% of a self-service data provisioning or self-service BI. But in data is so important that even if we reach, let me say, we increase by, don't know, 20% the level of self-service, this will be a very great benefit for an organization because the ICT people can use the resource they have to make a more value task, more valuable commitment, and so on.
Perfect. Thank you so much for explaining the concept so well, Andrea. So moving on to our second question, we know that data and data usage has been constantly increasing at an alarming rate nowadays. But in such a scenario, can you tell us how data democracy becomes more and more important?
Yes, sure. The key point, let me say the point that introduce, oblige in some sense, the organization to things to a new way to use the data is exactly what you say, the increasing speed in which the world is moving, in which the data are generated. So the data are generated faster, new data appear every year. So if you think, don't know, 10 years back, there were very less data with respect nowadays. So things to social data, video, music, voice, natural language, and so on. As I told you, you can't have a real data democracy without the simplicity of managing this incredible, huge amount of data. Simplicity which takes priority over the technical aspect of data management. If you look back some years in the past, every software vendor that proposed on the market a data integration, data management platform, very often focus on very technical capabilities. So to integrate tons of different data sources, to make very high performances, and things like that. That, by the way, are very important. But nowadays, we need to make a switch on priority on these capabilities and put the simplicity at the first place, and then, for sure, also addressing all the technical needs that must be addressed. So from this point of view, therefore, although data-driven transformation does not start from technology, this, however, becomes a fundamental enabling element, capable, if not well managed, of making the transformation fail completely. So the transformation starts from an organizational and cultural point of view, but the technology, as usually happen in also different topics, is a fundamental enabler. So making a very good general model of transformation, but then use the wrong, in this case, data platform, the wrong data approach, the wrong approach to data management, will lead us to a complete failure in some cases.
Right. So the simplicity aspect of it becomes very important.
I think that must be put at the very first place before other technical aspects that are important as well, but is a matter of priority, absolutely.
Definitely makes sense. So that brings me to my next question. I know we discussed a lot about the simplicity element within data democracy, but how does data democracy force organizations to give a new impetus to simplicity? Are there any other elements in this that we missed out on? Would you like to talk about this a little bit?
Yes, as I said before, simplicity can be seen as the guiding light in the implementation of a data democracy. So normally a company decides to move to run a data-driven transformation because they recognize that the data is are at the core on every decision an organization must be taken, because everybody needs to use the data they need, because data is so important for different reasons. We use in our day life, we use data every single day for whatever aspect we need, from weather forecast to pricing when we want to buy something, when we want to book a vacation, and so on. So I think that nowadays every company has recognized that the data are at the very core of the decision of the business model. But again, it's a matter of start from the right point. And I think that simplicity is the top marquee point to start with. We like very often to make an analogy with driving a car. No, when you want to buy a new car, and when someone is trying to sell you a new car, you normally show the car, considering that you are the driver of the car, not the mechanic or the engineering that have to manage or build the car. So this means that as the driver, you focus on very specific capabilities. So the comfort, the simplicity, the luxury of the interior, or whatever you want. Very rarely you focus on the engine, the electronics, because you trust the technology that is behind the car. With the data, I think the approach is quite similar. We need to focus on data consumer, that are the people that are very expert in data, but they normally don't know the technical aspect of the data. And this is a very, let me say, change on the mindset in a data democracy scenario, because the key of the data democracy is to give data to everybody within the organization. So we can't assume anymore, on a high level of technical skills in that data consumers. When before the data-driven transformation, normally data was managed by a very small team of very skilled people with a strong technical background that were very comfortable with solution, in some cases very difficult to use. This is not more the situation in a real data democracy scenario, when the audience of the data grow immediately, probably up to the 100% of the employee of an organization. So we cannot more assume some specific skill, and so the simplicity comes into play, because we need that everybody needs the data, can understand which data are available, can clip, drag and drop the data they want and use for the goal that must be reached, that it could be analytics, reporting, artificial intelligence, machine learning, or whatever. So while in the past simplicity was often an accessory ability, now it becomes central and inevitable. We can therefore say that the greater the simplicity, the more successful data democracy can be.
It's really interesting to see that the simplicity aspect towards it is just more than an accessory now, but it's more a necessity. And also because consumers are wanting to utilize their data more and more and have easy access to it, right? That brings me to my next question. In a nutshell, other than the simplicity aspect that we just talked about in detail, what is the true essence of data democracy? Would you say semantics, governance, and security also play a crucial role here?
Yes, absolutely. You said very well. Semantics is very important to create a unique and shared data model, because if you want to use data at the very company level, you need, before any other things, to have a global and unique model of the meaning on what data represent. It's very similar when you talk with your friends, your relatives. You have a common model of the real world, and this common model allow you to understand each other. And when you use the data, it's exactly the same. So before we start, and this is also a different way to view data integration. Data integration is no more a technical challenge, but is a sort of semantic adventure. Because before all, you have to recognize that you use data, you integrate data to reach some goal, some objective, so to take the right decision, to make some forecast about the future or whatever. But this is impossible if you, above all, define a data model that is basically the meaning of what the data represent. So semantics at the first place. After simplicity, probably at the same level of simplicity. At the second place, governance and security, because we are talking about data democracy, not data anarchy. So it's fundamental that within an organization, each employee can use the data they have the right to use. And the right depend about the regulation, things, for example, in Europe, the GDPR, Data Act, and whatever. Probably you in Canada have different regulation. And this is one part. The second part is the internal rules that every organization defines about data usage. So simplicity as a guiding lines to implement any functionality of a data management system. Going down on specific functionality, semantic, by the way, by far is probably the most important, but then governance and security, because we need to secure data not only from external attack, from hacker or whatever, but also internally be sure that the data are used according to the policies defined within any organization.
So my final question for you is, we've discussed data democracy as a concept and the various elements associated with it, but is it possible for you to share an example with us where an organization has benefited from data democratization, and how does Denodo contribute here?
Yeah, we have a very good example that is also a public references, so you can find all the information public. And this example is in the local government space, is a company in Regione Friuli Venezia Giulia, that is one of the region of Italy, in the north east of Italy. Not a big one, but very, let me say, very innovative in some sense, not only in the ICT market. They had a problem because they spent a lot of effort to answer to tons, let me say, of data requests every day. So they decided 2 years ago to stop the normal way they manage data, so responding day by day to different requests, so extracting data, providing data, very often in the Excel format, unfortunately. And they say, no, we need a very different way to give value to data and to make data available to anyone is interested in. So they decide to enter in a data-driven transformation to implement data democracy concept, starting from a data marketplace. So they are implementing, using our solution and our data catalog mainly, a data marketplace that will be the unique point, the unique access point for all the data managed by the region. InCL is the, you can see InCL as the IT company of the region that I mentioned, Regione Friuli Venezia Giulia. So they start to build the semantic of the data. So they built a unified semantic model of all the data managed at a regional level. This is a very complex model because of different categories, a very deep tree organization of such categories. So they don't start with a typical functional use case like, you know, integrated view of the citizen, logical data warehouse, or whatever. They start from the basic, let me say. They start to structure the data to represent the data in the best possible way. So each data is represented in terms of origin of the data, or about who is the responsible in the case that the data are related to personal information or not, and so on. So they built a real data marketplace. And this data marketplace will be gradually open to different to all the stakeholders of the region. Initially, they used the marketplace just for internal users. So now each employee of NCL, when they need the data, they go to the marketplace, pick up the data they need, and then simply use for analytics or whatever. In the future, they will open gradually open the marketplace to the other administration. So any request coming, for example, from an hospital or from a school can be satisfied in a very self-service scenario. As I said before, probably not a 100% self-service, but with a very high level with respect to the today's situation. Adding the as a further steps in the future, I don't know, within 1 or 2 years, they probably open the marketplace also to citizens. So to implement a new way for open data, that is also, I think, if also in Canada, you probably manage open data. In Italy is a program that started 10 years ago, probably, but initially the open data was not so of much value because it was simply, in many cases, it was simply Excel with a very aggregate data. So now something is changed. So in the future, every citizen that wants to access public data can go to this marketplace, again, in a very self-service way, and pick up the data they want to inspect. For sure, all these marketplaces with a very strong data governance procedures, because, you know, they manage public data. So there is a lot of attention from authority on the data, so from the political, from the government, to be sure that anyone can access all the data they have the right to. And this is a very good example. In fact, in CL participating to some of our event, marketing event, also in some trade show, so presenting his experience, is a sort of ambassador, because the project is very interesting, very peculiar, to be honest. And I think it's the best example of how to implement, to start to implement a data democracy project within a public organization that normally, when you talk about public bodies, at least in Italy, the first reaction is to think that the public body are not very innovative, you know, because they are a lot of bureaucracy, they are the real follower, they innovate just after, only after the innovation has been proven by others. In this case, they were a sort of explorer, because they start to implement, to really implement a data democracy that in many cases is just simple a word written on a strategy plan, but very rarely is really implemented with real solution.
That's really wonderful to hear that data democratization as a concept has been applied in this way in this public organization, like you mentioned, because there's a little bit of that stigma that public organizations are not as modern. Exactly. But this is a great example indeed. And also, I really liked how you explained about data democratization and data marketplace helping enable the employees in the organization, irrespective of their technical knowledge, to work with data comfortably, to be confident accessing it, and to make informed decisions, and ultimately build meaningful experiences powered by data, right? So at the end of the day, that's the whole point of having this much accessibility to data. Yep. Where we get derived meaning out of it. So that was a great, great discussion, Andrea. Yep. Just before we wrap up, I have a short question and answer round for you. So are you ready for it?
I'm already hoping to have all the answers.
I have heard you are passionate about food blogging in your free time. So yeah. If you had to pick a favorite dish of yours, which would it be?
Yeah, let me say that more than I am, I was, because I was a food blogger up to 3 years ago. Then, you know, the passion changed over time. So now I continue to cook, but I not manage my food blogger anymore. But by the way, being Italian, you know, probably, you know, the answer, my favorite comfort food is pizza and ice cream. And no, it's not pasta, as some might think. I like pasta, like all the Italian, but I do prefer pizza because it's a very easy food, and ice cream. I really love ice cream.
Thank you for sharing, Andrea. And my last question for you today is, if you had to pick an all-time favorite cuisine, I think you already answered that.
Let me say, it's like data. When there is no data which in itself is better than the others, I like to be curious, taking, for example, specific dishes from different international cuisine. So, for example, I love the spicy cuisine of Asia, the sashimi from Japan, paella from Spain. I don't know if you in Canada have some very appropriate salmon. That I like salmon, but also like American barbecue and many more. So there is not, let me say, a cuisine that overall I consider better than the others. I think that any cuisine, because the tradition, the history, has a very interesting dish or very interesting usage of some ingredients like the spice in the Asia.
That's great. This was a wonderful session, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. And I hope that it was a very interesting and pleasant chat. Thank you, Neha.
Thank you. And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data. And don't forget to check out our Italian podcast on www.denodo.com/datapops.